Hi, New Life friends and family. I'm here today with a New Life alum, Rob Passaro. Rob and I have known each other for a few years now. A few years ago, he came to Johnny Pons, who was the director at the time for New Life, and wanted to get involved in supporting the ministry financially. And given that all three of us on staff raise our support and raise income, Rob ended up supporting me, and from then we've met up multiple times and collaborated for various things, and he's become a friend as well as a partner in the ministry. So Rob was just going to speak today to some things pertaining to his job as well as the Penn State New Life Alumni Network. So Rob, thank you for being here.
Really excited to be here, Kayla. Thanks.
Yeah. So who are you, Rob? What's your deal?
Good question. I'm still trying to figure that out. Hello, all New Lifers, alumni, and current students. Really happy to be here with Kayla. Gotten to know Kayla really well over the last 3 years, being a prayer partner and a financial partner. So I graduated from Penn State in 2004. I was a New Life member from 2002 to 2004. I started at Penn State at a branch campus and then came to Penn State main campus as a junior and immediately connected with New Life and Johnny and some other folks. One of the guys that was my roommate, I knew from the prior the branch campus, was the lead guitar player for the New Life worship band. So he brought me into New Life and kind of just felt that that real community feel that I think a lot of us are looking for. So yes, I was an active member of New Life for 2 years, built some long-lasting friendships. One of my very best friends still to this day is a guy I met in New Life.
You want to give a shout out to him?
Marcus Bouchelon.
Hi,
Marcus. I'll tell a funny story at the end. Ask me about that later. I'll tell a funny story about that in New Life.
Alrighty.
So I graduated from Penn State with a degree in accounting in 2004. I'm from New Jersey, so I moved back to Jersey. I worked in financial consulting for 5 years, got my CPA license. I then moved over into corporate finance, and I've been working and corporate finance for insurance companies for the last 10 years. Right now, I work for an insurance company based at Marstown, New Jersey. I'm in charge of financial planning. So it's a really cool opportunity for me to be heavily involved in the senior management of the company. And yeah, I really love what I do. It's blessed to gotten the education I did at Penn State. And I feel like this is what I was kind of called to do from a vocational perspective.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's funny with you working in corporate America. I have a whole thing about corporate America where I just imagine people in pantsuits and swivel chairs. Can you speak into that? Do you have a swivel chair? Do you have a pantsuit?
So it's funny that you mentioned that, Kayla. So for the past 5 months, I've been working remotely from home. So I have this polo on that I wear to work today because I'm on video conferences all day, and I have basketball shorts on down low.
Nice.
It's kind of the new work attire. Yeah, it's quite a change going from wearing a business suit, shirt, and tie every day to rolling out of bed in my basketball shorts, throwing on a polo, and getting in front of my computer with my coffee. And you know, I think that it's a new world we live in where, you know, working remotely is kind of going to be the new thing, I think. And my company has already moved to what does the future look like for us having most of our workforce work remotely. And for me in the summer, that means taking a dip in my pool every day at noon, which is awesome.
What a bummer.
That's, you know, something that you give up when you commute to work. So, I think the days of showing up to work in a suit and tie for a lot of people might be over.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone's complaining about that. And at least we still have our swivel chairs.
Do have the swivel chair.
Yeah. So Rob, given that you are in, I guess what you would call a secular job from the lens of the Christian faith. So in other words, you aren't working in vocational ministry. How do you see yourself as being part of the kingdom of God, and how is he using you? Because, I mean, it's not like there's a hierarchy. It's not like you're more blessed and more godly for working in vocational ministry, and God is using you. So where do you see that kind of playing out?
It's a great question, Kayla. So, you know, I think everybody realizes that they're all blessed with certain gifts, and some people are, and also certain callings, and some people are called directly into ministry as their vocation, and others are called into non-vocational ministry. But I feel like we're all called into ministry in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to take advantage of your gifts where you're given them, but find ways to still partake in ministry in various ways. And that's one of the reasons I got involved in New Life with you back a few years ago. You know, I knew that my calling was more of a, you know, this is where my education is, this is what I'm skilled in. And it's really blessed me in a lot of ways. But, you know, I always thought, well, how can I bless students currently with, given that I'm not in vocational ministry? And so, you know, I mean, that's pretty much a catalyst to, you know, what we've done now over the past few years with Eric now coming on board and with you in Autumn, is supporting this new version of New Life and starting this alumni network, where now I felt called 3 years ago, as you said, I connected with Johnny. You know, we said that we had this vision where, you know, those of us that were New Life alumni that are all working in different vocations all over the country, how can we get together and partner and become part of the ministry in a way that, you know, takes advantage of our talents and really supports those of you that are on the front lines doing vocational ministry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was kind of the birth of this New Life Alumni Network, which we are, you know, slowly starting to get off the ground and really connecting the alumni from, you know, 20 plus years ago under Johnny, all the way up to the new alumni that are just coming out of college now. How do we keep them engaged in the ministry? How do we get them reconnected with the ministry? And how can we all take part in ministry and support you and the rest of the staff of New Life?
Yeah, and that's been such a blessing to us. And it's been really cool because, you know, I think as a missionary, first of all, I wouldn't be able to do this job if there weren't people like you, you know, supporting us. And it really is a partnership. And unfortunately, I think people focus a lot more on just the missionary on the field, when really there's a whole network behind that missionary. And so it's been really cool with the Alumni Network to get to actually see that and for other people to actually see that as well. And I think it's been exciting for people to go like, oh yeah, like I can get involved in the ministry and, you know, to see the example of some of the older alumni as well, seeing the benefits of that and seeing how, you know, older alumni are able to now also mentor our students or provide, you know, specific advice in different career fields and work with the students in a way that Autumn, Eric, and I cannot. So yeah, that's been, absolutely. It's been so awesome to be part of that.
You know, I think one of the reasons that a lot of us joined New Life and stayed connected with New Life and have stayed connected with Johnny and with each other is because we built that sense of community over our time at Penn State, taking part in New Life activities. And, you know, at least for me in my 2 years at Penn State main campus, you know, we had a group of about 30 or 40 students and we were really tight. And that was my community. And, you know, besides going to class and playing some sports and intramurals and stuff, you know, that was, you know, the people that we were hanging out with and, you know, you saw them on a daily basis. And, you know, I think that's that sense of belonging that students are looking for. And I think New Life provides a really good and safe place for that, for like-minded people, as well as for people that are still that are exploring. And yeah. I think it's, you know, if we can continue that sense of community even after people have graduated, you know, we want to be able to provide that support for the current students, but also that community for students after they graduate. Yeah. It's really a lifelong, you know, again, for me, I built some lifelong friendships, and it's really that lifelong community that, you know, I think we're striving for. So, you know, I think the concept of this New Life Alumni Network is not only to support you and the staff, Eric and Autumn, and any future interns financially. But as you said, you know, we want to be partners in all facets of ministry, whether that's prayer support as well as mentoring. You know, we want to really mm-hmm. add value in some ways to the current students, you know, giving, we have doctors, engineers, lawyers that are New Life alumni all over the country that can really provide support and benefits and mentoring, as you said, to the current students. And that's really what the vision is for New Life alumni.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. So we graduated off 9 students this past May, and a couple of them are going into business or into corporate America, as I like to call it. And one student who just graduated, she was curious about a couple things and sent in a couple questions for you. So she says, I believe Christians undergo increased challenges everywhere, and corporate marketplaces aren't excluded from that. Do you feel you are equally free to share views in the workplace? Do you ever feel like you risk unequal opportunities, whether that's economic, social, or elsewise, when you counter worldly views and opinions with those founded on the truth? So in other words, I think, you know, she's asking, do you feel like as a Christian that you ever miss out on opportunities in your job because of your faith and because you don't want to compromise your values? And is there ever any tension there? And if there is, how do you go about that?
Yeah, it's good. Early on in my career, when I was in consulting, there are probably more instances of that where you felt like the pressure to belong and fit in and really, you know, be equal with your peers. But I really think that was more of an extension of the way you think when you're younger, when you're in college, when you're, you know, in grade school, where you're maybe self-conscious about what other people think about you still. I will say, as I've moved along in my career, and as you say, corporate America, which I feel sounds like really, you know, negative, but it's really not.
It's all swivel chairs in my head. That's a positive.
I've found that, and I don't know if this goes to answer the question, but I've found that it's become easier to talk about faith in the workplace. And I think a big part of that is, to get back to what I was saying earlier, there's not that fear of fitting in or fear of what somebody else think of me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as you get a little bit older, you stop caring about stop thinking, well, what are they going to think of me if I talk about my faith, you know? I think you would get more comfortable with yourself and who you are and proud of who you are and what you are and what you believe. And I just feel like as you surround yourself with more mature people, those conversations just get easier. You know, as an example, our CFO was talked about how his church was doing this 30-day fasting. And that got a bunch of us talking on a conference call about are the different things our churches are doing. Now, this is a global insurance company, and we're on a conference call talking about business items, and now we're talking about what we're doing in our various churches. And I mean, and nobody thought twice about what does this mean for how people are going to look at me. I think that happens, you know, pretty, not frequently, but it just happens where I think there's more opportunities to talk about your faith. Casual conversations can turn into faith conversations. And internally, I think you get to a point where you no longer are self-conscious about what other people are going to think of you. But to circle back to I think the original question was, are missing opportunities? I think that's very circumstantial. I think that, you know, you can't be afraid to put your foot down and say that there's a line here that I'm not willing to cross to fit in or to potentially miss out on an opportunity. And in a professional setting, most times, you know, that'll be taken very well by your peers. Mm-hmm. And the times that it's not, I think you have to chalk it up to, well, that's just not who I am. And I'm not going to compromise that. And I'm going to put my foot down and draw that line.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that doesn't seem easy a lot of the time, but yeah, you're right. And I think I love that you addressed kind of the root issue, if you will, of that question, and really just comes down to a lot of times, you know, what what you're worried about with other people, you know, how they perceive you. Of course, you know, sometimes there are legal implications and policies in place, different jobs. But yeah, you're right. I think as you grow more, and mature more, you care less about what other people think, as far as you don't want to compromise your own values and stick to that.
The other thing I've really learned, which I think you might find unique, and maybe a lot of people that are listening might find unique, is I've learned there's a lot more Christians than you actually think there are. Mm-hmm. Like in just casual conversation, you'll find that people that you just wouldn't think any otherwise are also like-minded, go to church regularly, are active in their church groups, are active mm-hmm. in small groups. And I think that, again, that comes down. I just think it's just a little bit easier talking about your faith because you realize so many people actually do have faith and do practice their faith. They're just maybe not talking about it because, I said earlier, they are self-conscious about, you know, what yeah. people might think of them if they talk about their faith. But as you just get talking, you find, I've found at least, most people are very receptive to talking about their faith and, you know, their experience with church. And, you know, I have a lot of friends that only recently realized that they were Christians. You know, I realized that they were Christians because mm-hmm. we just never had those conversations. And now as we're getting older, we're having some of these deeper conversations. And it's like, I wish I had spoken up many years ago.
Yeah. So is that a note to your younger self?
It is. Have those conversations now.
Yeah. Well, actually that segues really well into my last question for you. What are some practical tips? What's some advice that you have for Christians who are entering the secular workplace?
Definitely just continue being yourself, you know, especially for those that are coming out of New Life. You know, I think you're coming out as disciples. That's, you know, the goal of, you know, Eric and your guys' mission is to create disciples, right? And I think that, you know, understand that coming out of school now, you have the tools not only to be successful in your careers, but to be successful in a type of ministry. Even if you're not in vocational ministry, mm-hmm. You know, we're all called to ministry in some form. And I think you now are equipped, whether you know it or not, with those tools of having some impact on ministry coming out. So don't be afraid to have those conversations of your faith and what's going on in your church life. And I think you'll be surprised with how receptive more mature adults are to those types of conversations. And I think you'll be surprised at how relatively frequently opportunities come up to talk about what's going on in your life. What is going on with what are you doing with your church? You know, mm-hmm. that type of stuff. It can just come up naturally in conversation, and don't be afraid of what people might think of you, and be proud of, you know, who you are in your faith.
Yeah. That's some great advice. Thank you for coming on and for sharing your experiences and answering some questions and, you know, for what you're doing with the Alumni Network and being really the one who was the catalyst for that and had the passion and the vision for that, because it's been such a blessing and it's just been great being partners.
Yeah. And yeah, I'll just say, you know, I think, you know, we're always looking for ways to connect the alumni with current students, mm-hmm. the alumni with other alumni, and ways to further engage the new alumni. You know, let's get some ideas of, you know, what do the newer alumni, what do they want the alumni, the New Life community to look like post-graduation? You know, and I'm really excited about the work that we're doing. I know you guys are doing a great job on campus, but you're also, you know, looking at the same vision of how can we build up our alumni network to both support the current ministry, but also to support, you know, ministry to our alumni network around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. So if you are a recent graduate of Penn State and New Life, then yeah, come on and join and fill in with some new ideas. That's a great point.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, thank you so much, Rob. And, you know, we're praying for you and looking forward to continuing to develop this network with you.
It's been a pleasure, Kayla. Thank you very much.
Yeah, have a good one.
Take care.